Today on the Nerd Outcast podcast, we join Master Chief John 117 as he fights the Covenant and the Flood in Halo. I'm your host, Chris Bashan. We're here, we're going to do a podcast about Halo. We're down a player, we're down an expert. He may show up at some point, so if he does, we'll
attempt to...
He got pwned by noobs. Thanks, Halo, for introducing that vocabulary.
And teabagging, I think, was also... Yeah.
Oh, we'll talk about what multiplayer brought to the realm of video games.
Okay. Amazing things.
Are they?
Yes.
Okay. For those in my listening audience, you are probably hearing the experts that I have brought on to talk about Halo. My first expert is...
Steven Scalabrino.
Hello, Steven.
Hello.
So, you're a Halo fan, right?
Oh, yeah.
First-person shooter fan.
Oh, yeah. That's my genre, man.
Your genre. That's your jam?
It's my jam, yo.
Really?
Yeah, like space is also my jam.
All right.
Did you get that?
I got it.
All right, thank you. Right. Anyway, moving on.
Moving on. We'll pass Michael Jordan references.
That's right.
Where does Halo fall? Like, is it in your top five?
It's probably in the top, it's in the 10, like the top 10.
Okay.
But not in the top five.
What's your number two?
Number two game?
Your number two first-person shooter.
Metal Gear. Solid.
Okay.
Yeah,
I don't know if I would count that as a first-person shooter.
Oh, you want just shooters alone?
Yeah, like...
Call of Duty.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. You're one of the millions of Call of Duty fans.
Yes, but I don't play multiplayer as much, honestly. I play it for the story.
Well, you're not like a 7-year-old boy.
Right, exactly.
But you have the heart of a 7-year-old boy.
That's true.
You said Metal Gear was your number two favorite game? Is that right?
Yes, number two, yeah.
What's number one?
Walking Dead.
Last of Us?
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes.
Just recently.
Yeah.
What was it?
It was bumped. Metal Gear got bumped.
It's
just so freaking outstanding. I say it every freaking podcast. You ask me this and I say that.
But Metal Gear Solid has Otacon.
Otacon. Yeah, I know, right? But I can't beat it. Like,
Is there anything else we should know about you as a gamer? You mentioned first-person shooters. Is there another genre?
First-person shooters. Well, the espionage genre. I think it's its own genre now. You know, like the Metal Gear.
Yeah, now it is.
Yeah, Splinter Cell. Those kind of things. Like, definitely. You know, sneaky is something I enjoy.
Okay. Cool. Well, hold on to that.
Ladies.
Hold on to that. You're always plugging your eligibility, by the way, in all my podcasts.
Well, I'm just saying. I'm on the market. Ladies.
Moving on
to the mic when I say that, too.
I know.
It's going to do something for me.
This is a great forum for marketing yourself.
That's right. If you are attracted to my voice.
My four women listeners.
That's right.
Whom you're familiar with. Yeah, fine.
Right.
My next expert is...
Charles Wright.
Hello, Charlie.
Hey. I thought you were going to lead in with a question.
Nah. And here comes the question.
Okay.
So last time I think we had you on, we've had you on a couple of video game podcasts at this point. You described yourself as a retro gamer, which technically the first Halo actually might almost be considered a retro game at this point.
Yeah,
it's true. It's over a decade old.
It was remade.
It was.
You know, HD-wise.
It was. So. We'll get to that. So where does Halo fall for you?
Well, I can honestly tell you that Halo 2 is the game that brought me out of my retro gaming.
Oh.
It was one of the first newer games that I really spent a lot of time playing. As I've told you in the past, I am a retro gamer, so every time a new console would come out, I might find a game or two that I'd play, but nothing that I'd stick with.
Okay.
So Halo was the first one, and honestly, I can tell you, I've actually never played the first Halo.
Okay.
It came out in college. I had a lot of friends that were just incredibly invested in it. I remember going to some of the Halo tournaments they had at the college. But the first one I ever played was Halo 2. And I started out playing just the multiplayer because I was doing that with friends after work when I moved here to Chicago. And then one of them let me borrow it. And I took it home for a weekend and I played the whole game all the way through.
Nice.
And they had actually just transferred over to start playing Halo 3. So I played a little bit of multiplayer on that. And then so... It's Halo 2 that really got me into the story. Because before that, all I really ever did was play the multiplayer.
Yeah.
So,
cool.
It was neat.
What's one of your favorite video games?
Oh God, it's. I think we actually did a podcast on it. It would be Mega Man.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we
that's
did.
Not a bad. That's not a bad. That's not a bad
actually,
choice.
Sorry, Mega Man 2.
Ooh.
Mega Man 2. I love all the big. Well, I take back. I love Mega Man 1, 2, and 3.
Okay.
But Mega Man 2 is definitely the number one in that group.
All right. There is nothing wrong with that choice.
That's right.
I commend you, sir.
Mega Man must slide for you.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, he doesn't slide in 2.
That's 3, right?
3 is where he
three
slides.
3 is where he gets to slide.
I was one off. Come on.
But this is not a Mega Man podcast.
It is not.
It's a Halo podcast. And my final expert, who's going to talk with the most emotional authority on the Halo trilogy, is...
Sean Okerberg.
Hello, Sean.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Pretty good. Pretty good. So, what type of gamer are you?
Video game wise, I do play a lot of first person shooters. I think I like the RPG genre a little bit more. I like having a character that I develop and really getting into a story that you can kind of explore.
So, like Mass Effect, which combines shooting and role playing, would be your ideal game.
It's,
if you would ever finish the
ever
second and third games.
That's true. It's the first one's an amazing game, and I need to play the next two.
go listen to our Mass Effect podcast.
I will. Yeah.
You probably already have. So,
yeah,
favorite game?
I think like Fallout 3.
Okay.
And Skyrim. That kind of game. Those two are just super.
Well, that rounds out the experts for this podcast. That is my cat that you hear in the background. He will be the outcast for this episode because I forgot to schedule one. Whoopsie. But you, dear listening member, if you know nothing about Halo, hopefully we will bless you with knowledge and emotional joy as we talk about the Halo trilogy.
And you know what? I would say that anyone who is a gamer, you know, probably has touched Halo in some way.
Probably.
You know,
yeah.
It's probably touched the beat in some way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, just in like random college parties or whatever it may be, you know, it's everyone's at least
a little
hard to find an outcast, honestly. Anyway.
Well, let's get into the nitty gritty details so we can actually talk about the games themselves. Just to run out. Shoot out some facts. The first Halo
shoot
was developed.
Out.
Shoot out some facts. See what I did there?
Yeah, I get it.
First Halo was developed by Bungie, published by Microsoft. Halo was a killer app launch title for the original Xbox. This was the game that you bought an Xbox for.
It wasn't intended to be, but yeah.
I thought it was intended to be.
Not originally.
Really?
Originally, it was going to be made for the PC. It's going to be made for Mac and Windows based PC. And it was going to be a strategy based game. It's going to be like, World of. A Warcraft or something along those lines. But then Microsoft was like, no, we want to make it a title for our console that we're coming out with, Microsoft. And they originally weren't going to make it its launch title either, because they didn't think it was going, like they had original critics who had originally looked at the game, you know, kind of gave it like reception. So Microsoft was a little wary about it. But then they realized, with the whole like green of Master Chief and the green of the system, they thought that would work pretty well, and that's why they said yes. Honestly, that's the only reason.
Huh.
That is a big shift to
yeah.
go from like a strategy game to a shooter.
Right.
I mean,
for
I'm
a launch title.
I'm impressed. Was Bungie developing the strategy game?
No. It was just like in thinking phase.
It hadn't even started yet. Okay.
But yeah. But then Microsoft gave him a bunch of kits for first person shooters, and they were like, "Here's our system. Make a game." Yeah.
Well, the first Halo was a killer app for the original Xbox. Released in 2001. Was the original Xbox in 2001 or was it 2000?
2000.
It was 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The original version, I was actually surprised about this, lacked online multiplayer.
Yeah.
You could...
And actually, they actually built it for the game, but they never released it because they didn't have Xbox Live yet.
Right. I know it was you could do multiplayer for up to 16 players, but you had to link systems.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming you had to link TVs, too.
Oh,
or,
yeah.
Yeah, or whatnot.
Like the
yeah,
system.
Yeah, the systems
yeah,
would be linked.
You know.
You just need enough televisions.
If you're listening to this podcast, you know how to do that.
It's called a LAN party, and if you're listening to this podcast, you're old. Does anybody know what would have been a contemporary title alongside Halo at the time that would have been a first-person shooter. Like, the only first-person shooter I can think of note is GoldenEye, and that came out on the N64 4 or 5 years earlier.
Shooters were still pretty young at that point.
I mean, most of them were on PC that I know of.
Yeah, like Medal of Honor, Call of
Medal
Duty.
Medal of Honor.
Call of Duty was after Medal of Honor, though.
Was Battlefield around then?
No, that was after that, too. Medal of Honor was one of the first ones. But even that, I think, was after Halo. I have to check my timing.
Dark Forces 1 and 2 were on this, but that was years before.
Well, Doom, you know, all those. But they were all PC-based. That's a thing. Like, all original shooters were PC. They never had any for the consoles yet.
Half-Life. But that wasn't for consoles. So.
Not yet. Yeah. No, exactly. So I think that's why they wanted to do it, honestly. Is they wanted to have, like... We're the first ones to do this. Check us out, you know?
Halo 2 followed in 2004, Halo 3 followed in 2007, and both of those sequels were huge benchmark titles. Everybody was expecting them, could not wait to play them. They all sold gangbusters and really put Bungie and really helped solidify the Xbox as a serious console machine.
Yeah. Does anyone remember the trailer for E3 before I think Halo 3 came out? Where it was Master Chief picks up his helmet. He puts it on. He has that running thing.
I remember the tagline, finish the fight.
Exactly, yeah. I was insane.
I also love the one they did where it's they built an entire battlefield out of pewter pieces. Did you see that?
Yeah.
And then the final one is one of the, I forget the name of it, not the elites. Not the elites.
The brutes.
The brutes.
Yeah.
Holding
brutes.
Master Chief up. And it's all frozen.
Yeah.
Everything.
And
then all of a sudden
he
looks up and he's holding a grenade. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing. It's like finish the fight.
Yeah. It was a great campaign.
That was great.
And the music was just a simple piano piece that was just.
Uh-huh. Yep.
We'll talk.
Great thing.
Yeah, music's important. We'll get to that.
But yeah, Halo really did, with music for video games, they really kind of stepped it up.
Well, what do you guys want to say about the first game? I mean, for those who want to know the plot, I would say go play the game, but essentially it is a science fiction shooter where you play the role of Master Chief fighting against a group of aliens known as the Covenant.
You want me to give the rundown of the plot?
Make it really quick. Make it like 30, can you do it in 30 seconds?
30 seconds?
Without maybe actually spoiling too much, because if there are people listening to this who haven't played it...
Yeah, okay, all right, let's see what I can do. All right, so... You play the role of Master Chief. He's basically a super soldier. It takes place in the future. 25th century, right? 25th century.
It's pretty far down the future.
Yeah, it's way in the future.
Yeah, it's like the 2400.
Right. You are battling an alien race, which is basically a conglomeration of a bunch of different alien races that don't like you because of religious reasons, which is interesting.
Mm, yes, that is true.
Mm-hmm. And they pray to a deity, which is basically an older alien race that is now extinct.
Yeah.
Which you find out later. And some shit happens.
Shit goes down.
Right.
That continues into the second
and
the
third
games. I don't know.
And the Halo, where the namesake comes from, refers to a weapon which destroys all life.
Yeah.
I think that might have been a spoiler.
So I want to ask my experts a question about the first Halo. Oh, I hear a knock at my door. Through the magic of editing, I'm about to bring our final expert into the podcast. And through editing, I have now brought him in. He is here sitting with us now, and his name is...
Rob Shoemate.
Rob, thank you for coming late. You haven't missed too much of the Halo discussion, so we're primarily talking about the first game, but real quick, you've been on the podcast before. What type of gamer are you?
I do play a lot of first-person shooters, primarily RTS and role-playing, though.
Yes. I think we all know, we all know that Mass Effect... Is your favorite.
It's
your favorite.
It's a really good game.
It is. Yeah. Where does Halo rank for you?
Halo is a sweet spot in my heart because it's one of the first person shooters I ever played.
Did you own an original Xbox?
I did.
At launch?
No, I did not.
When did you get an Xbox?
I got it a couple years down the road.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Did you pick up Halo when you picked up the original Xbox?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
All right. Well, we'll come back to everybody's personal experiences with the Xbox and whatnot. My question, experts, that I wanted to ask all of you. The original Halo, the very first game, was that supposed to be a standalone title? Or was it always intended to have sequels? Because Halo 2 obviously ends on a very wide open note that leads into Halo 3.
It's been a real long time since I've played the first Halo, but I vaguely remember there being something after the credits. Wasn't there another Halo or mention of another Halo?
I think there was like a dialogue or something. Hold on. Let me check.
Two ends with the dialogue with the Gravemind.
Okay,
that's not one. Well, one ends with them.
One ends with them.
The destruction of the
yeah,
Halo.
Yeah, they do what they plan on doing. Yeah.
But, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
But doesn't the little robotic thing that follows you around towards the end, doesn't it?
Guilty Spark?
Yeah, doesn't it make mention of another or other Halos?
Maybe it does.
I'm almost positive it does.
Okay. We are not entirely sure. But it did have sequels, and they all did wonderful. So, kind of the question I threw out to Rob, did any of you play this game at launch? Did any of you own Xbox, the original Xbox?
I did play it at launch, but it was at a friend's house.
Not at launch.
Okay.
I've actually never played the first Halo.
Oh.
No.
Get the fuck out.
Huh? There it is.
Played the others?
There it is. There's our explicit warning.
Okay. Question answered. It was meant to be a standalone, but because it made so much damn money, let's make a sequel.
Oh, there you go. Interesting.
Yeah.
Ah, much like Back to the Future, the first one.
Much like every movie Hollywood's made ever.
Well, that's the plug, so you listen to our other podcast on Back to the Future.
This is true. So what do you guys want to say about the first Halo?
It was a lot
for those of
fun.
You that have played it.
It was the first time that I really remember... I remember doing LAN parties, I guess, in college a little bit, but that was the first time. But it was very much just a few people. But Halo, I remember the first time that like all sorts of people were playing at at LAN parties and playing multiplayer, and just like a bunch of different friends would get together and sit on the couch and play four player, which, you know, on an old TV when you have it divided into four is tiny little little things.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I said, I never played it, but they had like entire conventions at my college where people meeting at the gym. They'd have eight TVs set up, and
we did that at our apartment. Yeah. We'd have the LAN parties where people would just come over and
talk
from room to room.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mostly, I just got drunk and played Star Fox 64 with my friends.
In the day. Yeah, you know, I always called Halo like the gateway game for a lot of people. You know, like I remember going to parties in college where there's like lots of stuff going on, but then there'd be like a LAN party for Halo too, like in a couple of rooms, like, or just randomly be like, dude, let's play some Halo. We got some TVs, people like throw down their Xbox and just set it up right away. Like it became like just such a staple for parties and stuff in college. It didn't matter if you were a gamer or not, you could pick up a controller and figure it out. And I think that's one of the genius parts about Halo, is because they made it so simple that it was easy to kind of pick up, even though you weren't necessarily a gamer or into shooters, you know, which was, I mean, that was, what do they call it, Bungie's triangle of power, like their whole three weapon system, the grenade and two guns, they call it like the triangle system or something like that.
Huh.
Yeah, like that was their thinking, like we wanted to simplify it so that it could be easy for anyone to pick up.
Halo is really interesting to me just because it had to exist at a time when it was crazy that Microsoft was entering into the console war.
Yeah.
And, I mean, obviously they need the game to do successful, but they also need the game to do successful to prove that the Xbox is worth owning. Because I don't remember another game on the Xbox at the time that was... Oblivion had not come out yet.
Ghost Recon. That was another one.
Morrowind. I'm sorry. Morrowind had not come out
yet. No, Morrowind.
Ghost Recon was another one we got together and LAN party.
Okay.
So, and then I loved Robotech, but that was just me.
I did play that briefly. Yeah, it didn't catch on as big as Halo.
It was right behind it though. Right behind it.
Well, at the time, I mean, Sony was just killing it with PlayStation.
Yeah.
Yep.
PlayStation.
Yeah. They just were.
And
it.
Sega had just exited the market with the Dreamcast.
They had.
Yeah.
Boom.
That was probably the big slam against Microsoft was. Sega had proven that you cannot have a three-console market. It has to be a two-console market. And then Microsoft came in and proved otherwise.
Uh-huh.
Although I think I remember reading an interview that the only reason Microsoft was able to stay in the race is Microsoft had so much money that the Xbox division was a serious loss on their accounting.
Hmm.
And it didn't matter. Like, they could just keep pumping money into it.
That sounds about right.
Like, I think technically the Xbox was a failed console.
That was before they were hit with what's the word I'm looking for here?
Red Ring of Death?
No,
my
God.
That was until later, but yeah.
Well, Sega was the same way.
Yeah, the Monopoly thing, yeah.
Well, Sega didn't have a whole other company, like, backing it up.
That's true, but Sega's consoles were tanking, but Sega, even today, is still a major game manufacturer.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they, I mean, their people's hands are in just about every game out there. It's like they were the grandfather, and then all the kids have spread out everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But their consoles at the time were just tanking. Sega games. Whereas, you know, Microsoft, yeah, the console may have been tanking, but they realized that, like Sega, maybe we can bank on the games. Because the games, a person buys a console, and they have a console for a set amount of time, but they might buy multiple games over that time. So it's games where you make your money, not your consoles.
Right, that's right. True. But I mean, Microsoft had the money to just keep the...
Right.
Keep it alive.
And there were so many problems with the system, too. Like, that controller was a fucking brick.
I thought the Xbox... Yeah. I owned an Xbox, and two things that always really pissed me off about it. One, it was massive.
Yeah,
it was a massive console.
Yeah.
And I think the name just screams...
Have you seen the new one, how petite it is?
Yeah, I know. But the name is just screams, like, six 50-year-old white men sitting around in a boardroom going... What can we get these kids on with today? Oh, this Extreme Box, this Xbox.
Yeah,
you know, like it sounds like it's sounding too hard to be cool.
Yeah, X sounds
Xbox.
Cool.
Box, whatever. Some people would say PlayStation is not a better name.
Well, at least the system was smaller. So
yeah,
there you go.
Anyway, back to Halo. How important is the story to Halo?
For first-person shooters, for me, that's the first thing I play, is the story mode.
Me too.
Okay.
So,
well, it gets you acclimated with the controls,
and
weapons in the game, and just the gameplay. Like, how do I do this?
I will say with Halo 1, like I said, I haven't played it, but I know the story. I didn't even get into the game for the story until the end of Halo 2. Then you realize, like, because, you know, like, they do end it on a cliffhanger, so... and it's one of those things where, by the end of that, you're like, well, I gotta know how this ends. Mm-hmm. And so that, immediately, I knew I was gonna play the next game, even if I never played the multiplayer, just because I wanted the story at that point.
Well, it sounds like you all think, then, that the story is very well executed.
I think the story's important. I think it's interesting, but I think the world is what they created most of all. And the tone of it, I think, is really good. Like, the... Yeah. The actual story that you're exploring in the game, it doesn't seem that detailed to me. I mean, thinking back of it, there is a lot of story there, but it just seems like the gameplay itself is so much, you know, go to this section, go to the blue waypoint, push a button and come back, or something to that effect. The cutscenes are really good.
Yeah.
Like I do like the plot of the Covenant, and I like who they are and their, you know, their goals, and I like the Flood. I think that's an interesting twist on what, you know, this humans versus aliens.
I really liked the Flood in the first game, hated them in the second game.
Yeah.
Especially when I'm sitting there playing the game, and I'm sorry if we're jumping ahead, but with that Overmind thing at the end, I'm sorry, I'm even calling it the Overmind.
Oh, yeah.
The Gravemind.
I literally said, oh, and that's straight out of StarCraft.
Which is straight out of Aliens.
Whereas I was thinking of Audrey 2 from Little
Shop. Feed me, Master Chief.
I feel like the world's really good, but I don't really think a lot of the story is necessarily great. And my favorite is 4, if I don't want to jump ahead here too much. But like that because I like the story. I like the way they tell the story the most in that.
Still, my favorite is Reach.
Mm. Yeah.
Because it tells the backstory between
for
everything.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. You know, honestly, I never understood the fucking story of Halo, the first one.
The weird thing is...
There wasn't a whole lot of...
After the first one, he's supposed to be the last Spartan.
Right.
But then you go forward and there are more Spartans. Now, like, Reach and ODST are prequels.
Yes.
So there's a reason those Spartans are still there. But you get to Halo 4 and there's more Spartans that have...
I have not finished playing Halo 4.
So, you don't have to finish it. They're there
at
the beginning of the game.
See, I don't know if we can really count Halo 4. I said this off the podcast. In the gamut of the Halo series, it wasn't written by Bungie.
It's true.
Like, Bungie, when they were, you know, departing from Microsoft, said, we're going to end after we do Reach and ODST, and you guys do what you want with it. So, Microsoft has their own writers. They're doing their own thing with it now. So yeah, Halo 4 is still in the same world, but I don't know if it's necessarily... For me, maybe I'll be the outcast on it from here, but I believe that Halo 4 is necessarily part of the whole story.
Well, like, just story-wise, though, like I said, it's like a huge hole, because that was one of the things, is Spartan 117 is the last survivor of these super soldiers that have basically been killed off because they've been in a constant struggle with the Covenant.
Because of Reach.
And then all of a sudden there's these other Spartans.
Because of Reach. Which it kind of mentioned in some of the books and some of the like
but Reach is a prequel.
Reach is a prequel, yeah.
Also,
there wasn't a whole lot of them to start with.
No, there wasn't, but they were spread out over multiple battlefields. It does say that.
Yeah.
Which means they weren't all at Reach.
Right, right. Well, and that's not the reason why they did that, is so they can have them like randomly pop up if they want to. But yeah, most of them just kind of like just disappeared either on Reach or just off in the cosmos somewhere and got killed. You know. Because they weren't invincible, they were just really badass. Yeah. So
my first memories of the first Halo, Rob, I think you and I just like sat down and played through that campaign mode together, which I thought was really cool to play through a campaign mode, which I had never done before in a first-person shooter. I'm sure other first-person shooters did it, but I never played GoldenEye, so.
I think it was the first to actually have like a, well, that was for two, though, to have a co-op.
Yeah, I don't think you could co-op one.
Storyline. No, you could not in one. Only in two they added that.
Okay.
But that was the first shooter to actually do that, to have, like, a co-op storyline, which I thought was genius. Like,
because
that's one thing for me. I don't really play the multiplayer a whole lot, unless I'm, like, I got some buddies over having a party or that kind of thing. But I don't jump online and meet some random seven-year-olds and they pwn me. Like, I don't
we'll
do
talk
that.
About that.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I played for the story. Because I enjoy the story of games. That's honestly, that's why I enjoy games. I enjoy the storytelling of it. And to go back to my original comment with when I played Halo for the first time, I didn't really understand the story because of how they told it. Like, a lot of the dialogue was happening while you were in these intense firefights.
Yeah.
So you couldn't really, like, what are you saying? I can't hear you. What? Cortana? What the fuck? I can't hear you. You know, like, you didn't understand what was going on.
The game,
yeah, it'd start talking, and it would put you in the firefight while they're still talking. It's
there's like,
could you not wait a second and then say go?
Okay, there's like little spy things on my face right now. I gotta deal with this. Stop talking, Cortana, you know?
Go push the button while I tell you all the backstory of the war. What?
Yeah.
Nope, I'm
like, where am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to shoot? God damn it.
I will admit, the Flood, that you brought up, Rob, really caught me, really I felt came out of left field, and I thought it was really cool, because originally you think the game is the war between humans and the Covenant, and then suddenly it takes on this sci-fi horror theme as the Flood is like slowly revealed and becomes an all-encompassing enemy.
Yeah.
Which I thought
was... the shotgun.
Yeah. I think everybody switches to the shotgun at that point.
Oh, hell yeah.
Especially when they get your poor captain.
Oh, God.
They Borgify him.
Wow, what a good ending for a character. Like, what a great character and what a great ending for him. Nice guy to say. But anyway.
Throw out some names and you guys tell me who you want to talk about. Master Chief, Cortana, the Arbiter, Staff Sergeant Avery Johnson, a.k.a. Sergeant Apone from Aliens.
Yeah! Stay frosty, Marines.
Prophet of Truth, Prophet of Regret, Prophet of whatever.
Prophet of Catering, Prophet of
Catering. The Flood / Gravemind, 343 Guilty Spark. Is there anything here I've touched on that you want to talk about? I feel we should at least talk about Master Chief.
Yeah. Commander Keyes is in there too, right? Maybe? I don't know.
Oh, and his daughter too.
His daughter, yeah.
Mm-hmm. His daughter too.
Yeah. You know.
How do you feel the characters are? For those of you who feel the story is good or who feel it's pretty shitty.
I don't think you can talk about Master Chief without talking about Cortana, because she's riding around in his head the whole game.
True.
Which
I really like.
And especially with what they do in 4, I have played up to a certain point.
Yeah, it is kind of cool the way she's a program, but they still find ways to make her the damsel in distress constantly.
Howdy, did they make her hot in 4.
I mean,
they do make her the damsel, but she's also like a really good sidekick.
Yeah.
Because I feel like sometimes main characters get saddled with really horrible sidekicks. She's great.
She's the little techie sidekick that can get the door open for the big brute that doesn't. I just want to kick it in.
Yeah.
No, let me. Give me a sec. All right, door's open. Go.
I just want to take a grenade and shove it down their throats.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I think she's my favorite character. And I think a big part of it is I really like, and I don't know who it is, but I really like the voiceover. I like her performance. I think she has a few monologues, and I think they're well done. They're wrought with feeling. I think they're above the rest of the story. I mean, as far as, and that's why I like 4 so much.
It's a lot of her story too.
It's her story, and it's personal, and it's And it's not just so much, we gotta blow up the bomb before it... It's about her. And
she has a lot of feeling behind her.
Yeah.
Instead of just being an AI.
She's scared and she doesn't want to die. And he, like, even though he's just a big brute, you can, like, he's just like, okay, well, tell me what to shoot.
Point me in the direction.
That sense of that he's sad about it. And, you know. And
speaking of Cortana and the voiceover, it's a little side note. I read this today. The voice actress has been approached by Microsoft to be a potential Siri voice for phones.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
That would be so funny.
Wouldn't that be like a nerdgasm right there? Seriously. So anyway, but yeah, she's a fantastic character and would be great on my phone too. Yeah. So
for me, I mean, I have two characters. I love John, but I also love the Arbiter. Mm. I love that whole story.
The Arbiter is
pretty cool. He's my favorite.
He's the mortal nemesis of humanity in the first one.
Right.
But fails. Yeah. So then there's this, and it's weird because it introduces this odd quirk that Covenant society has.
Uh-huh.
He goes from being this lead soldier, and because he fails, he gets stripped of everything, and then due to it's like their religion. The Arbiter is part of their religion.
Right.
And he's like, he commands an odd
respect.
He's
like a chaplain, basically.
He commands an odd respect, even though he being an Arbiter means you've been disgraced.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a weird twist.
Before we get too far onto the Arbiter, that is a great segue into my next question. So for Halo 2, narratively, did you guys find it annoying that you switch back and forth and play half the time as the Arbiter through the campaign?
At first, I was.
Okay.
But then I got into it.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought it was a great... I thought it was a great way of storytelling. You know, I really fell for both characters. I think, like as I said, Arbiter is a great character. And once I started getting used to it, I really, really liked him. Almost more than Master Chief a little bit. I was like, I want to go back to the Arbiter story. You know, like, and carry around my sword and be badass with that. Like, seriously, he was a really awesome character. And I think he did a really great job doing that whole dividing thing. I thought it was perfect.
Yeah, I liked it too. And I think, I also like the interesting quirk that you were talking about as far as he's failed, but now it's like he's this symbol. And I like the point that they make about his armor is not as good. His armor is old, and it really is. He's almost like they expect him to die.
It's they just did. Like, they did expect him to die.
It's like, okay, it now...
He was going to face the demon.
He's supposed to be, like you said, like he's an example for the other troops to not fail. Hmm. We've chosen the Arbiter, and now we're sending him against this thing that is going to kill him. We've given him lesser gear and whatnot. Hmm. And so this will happen to you if you fail. I mean, that's what it was. It's essentially they've got this army of what they want to be mindless drones to do what they say, and to do it, you have to be able to march a soldier from the back of the group to the front of the group and put a bullet in his head if you want to control the masses.
I always found the Arbiter's introduction into very strange, because he was in charge of the events of the first game, but he is not in the first game.
No.
Like, you never encounter him because they hadn't written the character yet. That's the real reason.
Right.
And I could see that a mile away playing the second game. I was like, oh, they've introduced this character who had major impact on the first, you know, events of the first one, but it's not actually there. Do they mention the prophets in the first game? Do you get any of the Covenant?
I don't believe so.
No, you don't get a whole lot of the Covenant.
They make the enemy very faceless.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
For a reason. Because it's your... Spartan and the other Marines that survived the crash against this alien race that's trying to wipe out humanity. Period.
Right.
That's it.
And then there's another one, and But yeah, they don't really go into the Covenant
story.
Yeah, they don't go into too much of the back, the Prophet stuff until 2, which I thought it was great though, with the whole rebellion, with the the elites rising up and taking over.
Yeah.
Like, and you saw like the both stories unfolding with the Flood and the Arbiters and everything. It was great little twist there.
It's also a really great setup to the Arbiter and Master Chief working together.
Yeah.
I mean, making the whole way,
basically,
you know,
a buddy movie.
A buddy cop film.
We don't like each other. He's from Japan. He's from New York.
He just lost his job and he's pissed about his children.
I'm just waiting for the Arbiter to be like, I'm too old for this shit. I'm 3,000 years old.
It's Red Heat, the movie.
I am not shitting on you.
I would do a disservice if I didn't mention that the Arbiter is voiced by the wonderful Keith David, who does many good voiceovers. Good job, Keith. Keep it
not
up.
To be confused with David Keith.
It's true.
Yes. Anything else you guys want to say about the Arbiter?
I'm good.
All right, great. Yay! As far as the storytelling and plot, how do you feel it stacks against other sci-fi games? This is kind of a loaded question because I feel a lot of our favorite sci-fi games came after Halo. But do you feel Halo set the groundwork at all, or...?
Okay. Well, Halo's nothing new. The story for Halo is... I mean, the developers even, you know, admitted to it on their website. We stole from this and this and this and this, from their favorite genres, their favorite sci-fi novels. So, yeah, I mean, it's... And again, there are new ideas anyway, blah, 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 blah. But it's great storytelling in a game format. You know, the way they tell it. again, like I said, even in 2 and 3, I still didn't fully understand a story until I went back and, like, read notes and kind of listened more instead of playing the game and actually, you know, worrying about enemies and actually listening to what Cortana was saying. It took me a while to understand a story, but once I started understanding about, you know, who the Forerunners were and what they were doing with the Halos and all of that, I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was really a cool idea. I loved it. That was great.
Rob, Charlie, Sean.
There's a lot.
I want to end with Sean.
There's a lot of blank faces over there. Uh-oh.
I think the world's great, but sometimes the storytelling didn't do it for me just because I felt like it. I felt like I was lost, like I was just running around killing, I mean, as opposed to really delving into the story. But I think it's a great world. Like, just the idea that you're running around on the inside of this huge ring, I thought was cool. This artificial environment that, you know, they have seasons and all sorts of, you know, it's a neat world, and it's, I think the story's great, but I think you really have to go out of your way to figure out what the whole story is instead of it necessarily being told
very well.
But it's but the gameplay doesn't lend itself to it, I think. I think the gameplay really is about, you know, fast, destroy, kill.
Not until Reach, as you mentioned, you know, until they really kind of figured out how to do both well. Yeah. Like, gameplay with the story at the same time to make it not seem so confusing.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I could say for me, the main reason, I think it's the way you said it is, how it's about running, killing, destroying, is it's because, and it's one of the main reasons why I like the character of John, is he is really a no-nonsense character.
Mm.
Can any of you remember him pissing and moaning about anything in any of the games? When you would constantly hear the Marines around him screaming, well, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, you can hear David Cross.
I was going to say, David Cross is great. That's the
maybe
problem.
He's really
great.
But even on all the other games, every other person always made some complaint. But every time Cortana or whoever told, you know, Spartan 117, like, well, we need you to get into that enemy cruiser and we need you to get something out of it, he never complained. He also never cared about the other eight guys with him, but he just did it.
Who die?
Who always die? Because that's the whole point. John is a survivor.
You're waiting for him
and
to get
on
your
transport. And he's not just a survivor because
because
he's lucky. He's a survivor because he lives by the code that, you know, I could go left and try to avoid him, or I can go right and try to avoid him, but I'm probably gonna get killed. So screw this. I'm just gonna go right at him. And that's what he does. That's why we think of him as a brute, because that's what he does. He doesn't sneak or hide. He goes right at him.
He's a freaking hammer.
That's why when they
incarnate.
Made exactly. Yeah. He is the hammer. He is a broadsword.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly.
Cortana's the scalpel.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah. And that's one of the main reasons why I like that character.
Cortana is the hand that wields the broadsword, if you will.
Yeah,
like, I think she's the conscience.
The scene that really does it for me is when they plant a bomb on his ship or something, and they ask him what he's going to do, and he's like, I'm going to take the bomb back. And so he literally takes the bomb
jumps out
into space.
And pushes the bomb into
like,
the...
No finesse. He's like, I'm going to give it back.
We'll give it back.
And it's what makes the character great, because, I mean, other characters, like... You like them because they have these heroic qualities where they come up with an ingenious plan to get around something.
Yeah.
They MacGyver it.
Yeah.
Or they can just do wild and crazy things. But then there's a guy who's just like, well, they threw a bomb at me. Well, I'm just going to give it back. Nothing special.
Yeah.
Just giving it back.
I'm just going to jump through space.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And fall to Earth.
Which was a great cutscene.
And fall to Earth.
Jeez.
Oh, Master Chief. Mm-hmm. You crazy, crazy cat.
Like I said, which very basic stuff.
So are we going to talk about the Master Chief character now? Can we do that?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So I liked him because he was enough of a what was the word you used before? Faceless hero.
Never see his face.
Yeah, you never see his face. He doesn't really talk a lot. Like, he has little jibes like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to give him the bomb back. You know, like, it's very one-liners. So as you as a gamer still feel like you are the Master Chief in a way. But, you know, he does still have that. Every time he does talk, it's for a reason. Mm-hmm. You know, and it lends more to that. This is what I'm going to do. I'm the hammer. I'm going to fucking put his grenade in their face. You know, that kind of thing. So I liked him for that reason. Like, it really kind of helped you come into this world and really feel like you are a super soldier. So, yeah. As a game player.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that, like, yes, he is an enhanced person. Like, he's not a regular human.
No,
he's an enhanced creature. Whether it be when you find out that they used chemicals. And that they also actually did...
Is this four stuff you're talking
about? No. Oh. In three. They showed the pictures of them getting the shots.
Remember those?
Where it's the shot and you'd see the blue liquid go into around the muscles? That was supposed to be prepping their bodies for the eventual surgeries they would have.
Mm-hmm.
It also increased muscle mass and all these other things. Even with all that, he's a super soldier. He's still kind of like an everyman. He would be like that one soldier that... You see him first day, he joins up, he's a basic soldier. 10 years down the road, he's a veteran that's done all of this crazy shit. Right. And is it because he's lucky? Is it because he's just always in the right place at the right time because he knows where to be? Like I said, very no-nonsense character, and that's what was kind of really cool about it. And the whole idea that you never see his face. You don't know what he looks like, so you can't...
Yeah.
You're going to put your face there, as you said.
Right.
I'm the super soldier.
As a gamer.
Because there's no other face there to have to...
Yeah.
Mess with.
And there's no other life, really. I mean, when he's not in the middle of the battle, he's frozen.
Like, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he does nothing. There's no, like, okay, back home, take off the armor. It's just like, okay, now shut down.
Yeah. He's supposed to be human, but he's really not. He's alive for... He's Patton. If he has no war, he has no life.
I mean, it says a lot about him. Like, when there is nothing to fight, he just sleeps.
Yeah.
Like, that's all he is bred for. It's all he needs for. Yeah.
It's not an aggressive way either, because none of his language is ever him screaming and yelling at the enemy while killing him. It's very, like, precise and, like, this is what I have to do because I'm a soldier and this is what I do.
If only those clones could have been the same way.
Hey, those clones tried, man. They tried. Reach showed us that they tried.
Yeah.
His relationship with Cortana is really interesting, too. I feel they kind of tread this line of sidekick slash maybe love interest, but like in a really noble, honorable way if he does.
Yeah.
I get more weird. Of a brother-sister thing out of
you
them.
Think it's more brother-sister?
Well, there are some lines
like he's an older
in Halo
brother
2
kind of
where
thing.
They're very flirty. Like,
a little bit.
They're
especially in 3, I think.
Okay, well,
there's
southern brothers.
Yes, there's southern siblings. but in 3, it definitely, I would say it definitely takes, they're still flirty, but I would say it definitely takes on a very, like, if not brother-sister, definitely, like, if this was a woman he could actually be with, this would be, like, the love of his life.
Right.
So it'd be very honorable.
Right. Like, so I really feel like they're more of a best friend relationship, you know? Like, they're good buddies in the beginning, and as, you know, as I said, like, by 3, they really start to develop that, you know, kind of love relationship, sort of love relationship as much as you can get. With her being like an artificial intelligence and
him
being...
having emotional walls the size of China.
I think
yes.
they're an old married couple.
Can they have
a
sexless love?
It could take the armor off.
Well, in
ODSD, I mean, Reach, they do.
Well, let's just say,
yes,
I will say that yes, he can take the armor. Well, he can't. He needs assistance taking it off.
Right.
But he does eventually take the armor off. I don't know what their relationship was like in 1. But I know in 2, playing it, while he is still trying to protect her, they just don't... They don't seem as chummy, I guess. Like I said, I never played the first one, and I don't know about cutscenes.
Well, so for the first one, it was... She was the one that had more emotion than he did. So she really provided
she was
a lot of...
witty.
Yeah.
For an AI.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. Like, she provided a lot of that kind of comic relief... you know, emotion to the, oh, look out, don't you know what, you gotta go this way, and hurry up, that kind of stuff. Like, he's, yeah, I don't give a shit, I'm gonna go over here now and do this, you know, like,
yeah,
she was the one who provided the conscience for, you know, the hammer, like I mentioned before, you know? So, and that was really her role. Like, there wasn't much of a relationship beyond that, because he didn't really have much to say, you know, as a character. He was really faceless a lot.
Because, yeah, I know by three, like, they're very protective of each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he runs into a flood ship to get her, mm-hmm, by himself.
Yeah.
To, I mean, it's very much like, if she's not with him, mm-hmm, he's always trying to get to her.
And I think that's kind of the arc that Master Chief takes a little bit. Like, in the beginning, you know, as I said, he's faceless, he doesn't really have much emotion. By the second one, you kind of start to develop that chumminess, you know. And by the third one, he realizes, I need her. Like, I need that voice in my head to really, yeah, know where to, you know, direct my power, direct my skills, you know.
And so, did they talk about that in 4? I'm trying to remember now. I want to say that they, that the AI is supposed to ground them as back into humanity, because they
have a shelf
were
life.
Turning, yeah, the AIs do, but the Spartans are,
but I thought,
almost sociopathic.
And I literally played up, yeah, to the part where you release the bad guy. That's,
well,
as far as I've played.
The, yeah, thing is, while the Spartans can carry the AI, they're not designed to all carry their own AI. I thought the AIs were for the ships.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah,
the AI is the
true
basic operating computer system for the ship.
They gave him the AI. They gave him Cortana so that she could do something. Yeah.
Yeah, she had to,
yeah,
leave the ship.
Yeah.
And,
right,
so after that,
the ship
he then
going
became
down
her protector.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And so every time she was lost, he went and got her.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. So it was just kind of happenstance that he ended up with an AI in his suit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't something that,
I
know,
think war is what was supposed to ground,
right,
the Spartans. If they, again, why would we, what we said about John, if he's not fighting, what else?
Well, the Spartans in Reach had a little more humanity
they
to them.
Yeah. I did notice that. They are very,
which
much,
which kind of confused me, though. It's like, why did then
it was
did
a little
John
confusing,
and they
not
were also more varied in their armor and the way they look.
Yeah,
yeah.
Whereas if you saw, like, you know, Halo,
they all came
and
out at the same time.
They all, like, this. They look, had the same exact armor. The whole point where they're supposed to be like Spartans, they all look the same.
Yeah.
Right? And then Reach came up and it showed that there were different types of Spartans. Some that you actually could see that they had like a complete mechanical arm.
Yeah.
As opposed to the full-on armor, and you just didn't know.
Yeah.
And there were two of them in relationships in that one. Like,
yep,
two of the Spartans were together.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sort of. And that takes place before Halo,
all
right?
Before,
right.
Yeah.
Sort of,
right.
Sort of like,
because at the very
version
end of Reach, you see Master Chief get on the, what is it?
Pillar
Dawn? Or,
yeah,
Pillar Bottom.
Pillar Bottom.
And
take off.
Yeah.
For an unknown location.
And then your character dies.
Goes down,
yeah,
fighting.
Yes, he,
yeah,
does.
Yeah.
I do love that about Reach.
Yeah,
I love that about Reach.
It is a brilliant story.
It's a nice,
great,
great
game
story. Actually, yeah, you slowly, like, watch your squad just,
yeah,
die,
mm-hmm,
through the course of the adventure, and then you are the last one, and it's, ugh.
We just spoiled it there, Chris. Nice.
yeah, too late. I can't tell you to skip that part.
Yeah.
I will say, I'm sad you never get to see a lot of interactions between the Arbiter and Cortana. It just never happened.
Oh. Yeah.
I think there might be one or two of them, but I think that would have been an interesting pairing to see.
Yeah.
Just speculation.
Another man in her life.
Well, I want to drift away from the characters and story of Halo for just a quick moment and talk about what may be perhaps its biggest contribution to video games in general is the multiplayer.
Right.
I feel this is the game that brought serious multiplayer to consoles.
Yeah.
I mean, it was there. And it was there in local form, for sure. But once Xbox Live got up and running, I don't know if you would have Call of Duty if you never had Halo take off.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, I want to use a model of my,
I don't know if
my,
you'd have Battlefield or whatnot.
All of these, you know,
yeah,
really successful genres and shooters, you know?
I don't know if you agree with that statement. You.
I don't think Call of Duty would be around if they hadn't made Modern Warfare.
Oh, well, yeah.
Because I played Call of Duty 2 or 3. Wait, Call of Duty 3 was Modern Warfare, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I played Call of Duty 2, and that was, you know, it's World War 2.
Call of Duty was World War 2,
yeah. And it was okay. It was fun. But Modern Warfare changed that whole,
yeah,
that whole game. They haven't made another World War 2 one that I know of.
Nope.
But Halo proved that you can do on PC, you can do on consoles what you can do on PC, which is
Yeah, it did.
Had massive multiplayer.
But not until really the 360. Because they had Xbox Live for the first Xbox, but you had to buy that piece that went on the back. And
you did.
Not right away, though, yeah.
Yeah.
You had it until later. And as we mentioned earlier, you know, the original Halo game was designed to be multiplayer, but they didn't have the ability yet with the system.
Yeah.
So until later.
But I remember that being
came out.
I remember 2 though was a big, that was a big selling point, was
you could play 2 on the 360, right?
Yes.
Yes.
That was one
yeah.
of the games they mm-hmm. made
for
sure it was.
Yeah, yeah,
cuz
yeah.
2 launched really late.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, 2 didn't launch that late. No, yeah, 2 launched
right
in 2004.
The, yeah, right.
Yeah.
360
there
launched
a,
in 05.
Yeah,
yeah,
it was right
yeah. between
yeah.
before
those.
the 360.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Oh, what I was going to say about multiplayer with Halo is I feel like I only use a template of my old roommate. Like I would come home and he had his like 50-inch TV and Halo would be on 24/7. If he was and at work, he was at home and Halo was on,
wow.
and he would be either finding a match in Halo or on his computer uploading a video of the last time he, you know, did something really badass in the game in a multiplayer match.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that was his life. Like that was our apartment's life. You know. And so many people were like that. So many people were doing that. And I was seeing, like, connecting with people all across the world, you know, through these games, like, talking on them online. And honestly, that's how we got a job, you know. But it's an amazing little social network that was created through this multiplayer, this game. You know, like, talking with these people and, you know, and just connecting. And it was a really simple design with the multiplayer, as I mentioned before, with just the 2 weapons and a grenade. It's all you have.
And some vehicles.
And some vehicles, which were really easy to control.
Yeah.
The controls
yep.
of the vehicles
oh
weren't too complicated.
Yeah.
It was left, right, you know, forward, backward, and that's it.
What was
you
your
know?
Favorite vehicle?
The Warthog.
Warthog?
No, the Wraith. The Wraith. Yeah,
the
I could do it by myself.
Was mine.
The Wraith.
Mine was the Ghost.
Scorpion.
Ghost?
Scorpion.
Oh, yeah.
Scorpion.
Only a multiplayer.
Tank.
Multiplayer,
own.
You can own it. Yeah.
You own the battlefield.
Sean, do you have a favorite vehicle?
Yeah, I think probably spent most time with the Ghost because you can just kind of
it's you could sideways and strafe.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, is the Ghost the really small, fast one?
It's like the
it's
bike,
a little motorcycle,
the
yeah.
one that it's really fun to run over people with.
Yes. Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what I was talking about, like the speeder one.
Yeah, yeah.
The Wraith is
the
flying,
flying
one. Okay, I was flipped those. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because there's Wraith, Ghost, and whatever.
Banshee tank.
But that
okay.
Scorpion, you don't even have to hit them. You can just get close.
Yeah.
To them.
Yeah.
And
people
if
go
you're playing
flying.
On a large enough map where there's an actual large flat area, you can make everyone so angry
mm-hmm.
by just sitting there and going in circles and killing. And you don't even have to see them. If your gun grazes where they're at, their name lights up and you just fire and they're dead.
I appreciate that they balance that out by having it to where if someone gets on the tank, they can pull
punch
you out,
yeah, yeah.
tail
yes.
you out, which
that.
Is like really like once you're in the tank, like your view pulls back.
Yeah.
So like someone slipping on is like no.
Yeah. Don't crap. Do it.
What
damn.
I hated
jump
about
out,
the multiplayer is when we're playing and you were a part of this. I'm sure this frustrated the crap out of you and Patrick Sweetman, if you're listening, he would get up with a sniper rifle in some obscure spot that only he knew how to get to,
yeah.
and just cap you like left
no,
and right.
Man. That was my favorite thing.
not when you're on the receiving end of it.
No, and I was on the receiving end because there's nothing I like more than when they miss that first shot and I immediately found them and hunted them down
yeah,
and killed
them. He
didn't
miss.
If he didn't get a headshot, and I wasn't dead, believe me, I am a sniper hunting bastard.
Oh,
I have made. So,
I
want to
see you and Pat.
I have
match.
Made so many people mad. I because I'll make it my mission when someone makes me angry and to just kill that one person. It's
no ignoring you.
It's
no ignoring
it's,
you.
Yeah. Oh, I will. I have done it before. I'll find the person and. The best part is because it'll show you who you killed the most in the game,
yeah.
and that's the person I'll just start talking smack to while I'm playing, and I'll be like, I'm coming for you. I can find you, and I'll read their name out.
For you.
Yeah, that was my favorite, hunting people down.
Do
nice.
You guys remember, how was the lag on the original Xbox?
I never
live.
Played live on the original
oh,
Xbox.
Original.
For
yeah.
2, you mean?
For 2.
It wasn't that bad.
I don't remember 2 being that bad. I do remember once you got to 3... and people started being able to actually lag hack, and they would screw with games.
Oh, God.
And there's nothing more frustrating than getting ready to kill somebody and all
okay.
of a sudden you jump across the screen.
Yeah.
Apparently, I'm not as big a geek as everybody else. What is lag hacking?
They're able to manipulate their... not their server. If everyone's internet is not as strong in the game, it can slow down the entire game. which means if your character's moving in a straight line, all of a sudden you're moving and then it's like it flashes and you jump. So you may run right past the person you were about to kill, or you may run right off a cliff.
Yeah.
And they can make it worse and worse, but they're doing it by manipulating their own bandwidth of their internet. And yeah, it will screw with everyone, because you're all basically connecting up. It will screw with the whole game. You'll see things jumping around. You'll be shooting someone. They should die. And all of a sudden, you die, and you were never hit once. And it's because they were shooting at you at the same time. It's just they're manipulating the bandwidth, so it's screwing your bandwidth up, yeah, his, and some, it gets so bad, like, it ends up booting everyone out of the battle.
Yeah.
And for the people who are freaked out about experience points, you lose experience points if you leave a game prematurely. And so it will do that to everyone.
Gotcha.
I will give credit to Microsoft. I feel like they really launched the assault into the online space for consoles. I mean, the GameCube and the PS2 could get online, but they did not do it nearly as well as the original Xbox.
Yeah.
And I feel Halo is where they kind of tested a lot of their online infrastructure.
Yeah. And one thing too about the multiplayer games is like they were great. There were great game modes. You know.
That's what I wanted to ask.
Get the bomb and the capture the flag.
Slayer.
Slayer.
Did Halo invent that, or was that already around?
That was theirs. That was their. They were the first ones to do that.
Yeah.
They didn't do that in Unreal.
I feel like I'm sure there must have been some PC games.
But that's a pretty, you know, quintessential one. Yeah. But I mean, like, get the bomb and all that. That was all Halo's idea, and that was great.
Yeah.
You know?
They did. Yeah. I mean, I can honestly say most of the time I just wanted to play straight up. But some of those games, like the capture the flag, capture the enemy flag, or like holding certain spaces on the map.
Oh yeah, where they move around.
King of the Hill.
That was a great one.
Yeah.
See what I mean? Like that's a great idea.
Because it would force.
And they did even better ones in 4.
Conflicts.
Like,
I collect the skulls and.
Yeah.
Collect the skulls in 3.
Infection
is so much fun.
Uh-huh. They've got Infection, which
smacking people with a skull.
One person starts out as a
flood. And then you gotta go. Yeah.
And it's all about who's the last man standing. That's the person that gets the most points.
It's good. I mean, it likens back to like GoldenEye with the Man with the Golden Gun games and stuff like that. The different modes they had, like, just kind of, you know, scratching the surface in those games, but finally Halo kind of brought them to the surface and said, these are some really great game modes. And for me, like, that's the only ones I play. Like, I don't like playing one-on-one. I need to have an objective, something I got to do, protect, get, whatever it may be. That's what I need.
And I still really like that one compared to some of the other first-person shooter multiplayers, because it's, like, I've played some Call of Duty, and that's pretty fun, but Halo is the one that, I think the big part is the shields. You can actually take some damage before you die, and so
you can take a lot of damage before you die.
I feel like, at least for me, I can be a little bit more strategic, and you know, I can, if somebody gets the drop on me, I can maybe trap them into following me somewhere or something. Whereas Call of Duty, I feel like it's just like
you get shot once, you're dead.
Whoever you see first, it's just a knee jerk.
Yeah,
like, for me, it's
so
just
painful.
Yeah,
and annoying.
That's why I hated ODST. Because you weren't as durable.
Yeah.
You do not have that shield.
You also didn't have near as powerful weapons.
Nope.
Because you were humans and not giant people that could carry giant guns.
Spartan lasers.
Yeah.
So now that we've kind of talked about kind of the birthplace of console multiplayer, or at least a major
contributor.
How do you guys feel it has developed? I mean, now it's, for some people, that is the only reason you buy a video game system. It's
the
multiplayer, Call of Duty, or whatever.
4 is the first one where I didn't play the story first. I went straight to multiplayer on 4.
Hmm.
Yeah. And still haven't finished
and
the game.
And you still have not finished the game. How do you feel the status of multiplayer is now?
What, for Halo the franchise or in general?
A little of both.
Okay. Well, with Halo 4, they developed the Halo Waypoint. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a whole new social media, you know, that has been finally recognized. Like, this multiplayer stuff, as I mentioned before, it's another form of social media. You know, you're connecting with people all across the nation. Yeah, you may be kind of talking shit with them, but you're making friends, you're gaining a little team of guys, and you're following these people. Like, it's kind of pretty awesome, I think, you know?
I know, like my roommate I live with now, he's the one that I started playing Halo with, and he's one of those guys that if he's not at work, he'll play Halo all day if his girlfriend doesn't make him do other things. he will. He had 2 days off. He played Halo for 2 days straight. And I would get text messages or a picture of his kill count on one of the games.
Yeah.
And I'm like, come on, Ben.
Yeah.
But I get why. Like, when I was playing with him and the other guy where I worked at, like, every Friday, I'd go straight to their place. We'd play until, like, 2 in the morning. And then I'd stay the night, and I'd get up and go home on Saturday morning.
Mm.
But they have probably 20 or 30 friends that are people they met and just kept gaming with. And, like, every time they game, all their friends will pop up. And some are playing other games, but some still will come play Halo with them. And it's like, these guys live all over the place. One of them lives in Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
One of their friends lives in Zimbabwe. And that's crazy. Always used to joke that when it would show the globe, and it would show all the lights, which is supposed to be where all the Xbox are. His was the only dot in Zimbabwe.
Like, way over here.
We're like, is that you? Is that you? We just see that one dot in Zimbabwe.
And nowadays, and for the new consoles, it's all about streaming. A lot of your achievements in mm-hmm. multiplayer,
yeah.
And like I've never played that much online multiplayer, but it's, you know, I've seen different friends that I have all these videos of. Here's this achievement, here's this, you know, great kill.
And Xbox has taken it too far, because now with the One, I'm watching Hulu, and there's an achievement for watching every day during the week.
Oh my god.
It popped up, and I went,
yeah.
Wow, Xbox, you just made me feel like shit.
What is it called?
Really?
Like, you have no life? Is that what it's called?
Right. You downloaded Netflix.
Right. Yeah.
Single. You get an achievement.
Yeah, I got one for watching several episodes of something
in a row.
Netflix. I was like, oh, thanks.
You just made me really self-conscious. Yeah. You ordered McDonald's.
Although they are, like, I have seen. I haven't seen it when playing Xbox myself, but talking about throwing in a little, don't forget to go outside, or don't forget to unplug a little bit. Or is that more Nintendo? I don't know.
Yeah, that's Nintendo.
Nintendo will do that. Nintendo will say, turn your game off, make sure you go get sunlight.
Right. What I think is
really
funny, though, you can,
like... It will say, like, you've been playing for, like, an hour. Take a break.
An hour? Dear God, I've played for, like, 7 hours straight before.
It warns you the one
depending
time.
Depending on how much experience points you get, that you can also customize your whole online...
Mm-hmm.
For instance, in Halo 4 now, you can customize your loadout, which mm-hmm. will let you pick the guns you want to start out every time you go.
Yeah, but you have to unlock that ability.
Oh, yeah. You unlock it by getting experience points. And it's one of those things where,
a lot
of
games have that now.
You'll see these weird armors with, like, a sword on the back.
Yeah.
And it's like, why? You can't use that. Why is that even there? Because it looks cool.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And it's like, okay, well, I mean, there's so many choices. You can totally customize your character.
It's just like your pictures
really
on Facebook and your,
really
you know, your profile
watch.
There. Like, it's all the same as social media. It's just like, how do you want to how do you want yourself perceived in this game? How do you want yourself perceived in this avenue of, you know, socialness?
Do you like that, or do you wish games were more a little, you know, like, it's the games.
Straightforward.
You know, like, I don't want people to know every book I'm freaking reading.
When it comes,
although right now I'm telling everyone every book I'm reading.
When it comes to multiplayer,
mm-hmm.
it's fun for bragging rights.
Mm.
When it comes to, like...
All your single player?
How many times I've played through Mass Effect, that's a little sad. I don't want everybody to know. Okay. I have almost maxed out every single Mass Effect game. There's just a couple things I can't do in either one in the last two that's driving me nuts. But,
I've never been able to get those last two Skulltola tokens.
Ocarina of Time.
Everything else.
Yeah. Sean, do you have anything to add to that?
No.
Okay. Sorry, man.
Like,
you guys are real sad.
Yeah, no, I mean, some of the achievements are kind of fun and whatnot, but yeah, I think it does go a little overboard. Like, I really don't. I don't want to post videos of what I've done.
Well,
like, I think
that's a great idea, though. I think we overlooked that part. That they were the first ones to do that, where you can actually upload videos of stuff you do in the game, in multiplayer, and show people, like, hey, here's me throwing this grenade and luckily catching some guy in midair with it. Like, you can do some pretty cool shit, and now you can show your friends, like, I actually did
Sticky
this.
Sticky grenades.
I feel we would be remiss if we didn't mention Red versus Blue.
Yeah, better way to cover
that. Yeah. Can someone explain what that is to me, actually? I've never
watched
Red versus Blue.
Oh, it's hilarious. All right.
Whoever wants to take a crack.
Basically, you know, it's a bunch of guys who took... it's Halo 2, right? Who started Halo 2.
Halo 2, yeah.
Yeah, it took... It took the one of the maps and made like this kind of short story, like episodic story out of it based on some of the characters, a red side and a blue side, hence the name Red versus Blue.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think the thing that was really brilliant about it was basically they did an animation using a structure that was, you know, for a video game. So they play online, not online, they play multiplayer. Yeah. So you have different characters and they're just simply controlling their characters, but instead mm-hmm. of hunting each other and killing each other, they're just using slight head movements by, yeah. you know, moving
looking
up and
down with the gun
to make it look like they're talking. And uh-huh. that's what I thought was brilliant about it.
Yeah.
It was just using this structure for a video game as a storytelling.
Yeah,
because cool. They made a couple of them where it was like a buddy comedy where the red and blue guy are running around together.
Yeah.
And what they were doing was just having all their other friends try to kill them too.
Uh-huh.
So they'd be hiding behind a rock and they're like, "All right, man, you need to make it over to that other rock. I've got you covered, buddy. I totally got..." And he'd run out and die. And he's like, "Oh, buddy!" And then he'd die. And it was just ridiculous stuff going back. Or it would have them just standing around, holding their guns, looking like they're literally just hanging out talking.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden the bullets would start flying and they would just run in circles
mm-hmm.
and like start crying. Mm-hmm. Just ridiculous
stuff. Well, it was really hilarious. Like, it was really cleverly written, honestly, a lot of the episodes. It was pretty funny stuff. So... yeah, I mean, I think that's why I was successful. It's really funny and a great idea, you know.
I have two specific questions about multiplayer for each of you. Question number one. When you play multiplayer, and try and keep it with Halo, but you can open it up to whatever. Do you voice chat? Do you typically do that or do you typically not?
If I'm playing with friends.
Okay. Strangers, you don't care?
No, because generally I get cussed at by little 5-year-olds, and it annoys the crap out of me.
That is the sad state of multiplayer.
Yeah, if I'm specifically playing with some people,
and I only voice chat with my friends.
Yeah, and okay. I feel like there was one of them that you couldn't turn it off, but I got so tired of listening because it's always so just. It's not that it's negative, but it's also so very homophobic, and it's so like.
It's kind of
I mean,
the worst of humanity.
Being, yeah, I mean, it's kids
because
being
they can't,
super aggressive.
You can't see them, so they will say whatever they
right,
want.
Yeah. So I've always just turned that off because I'm just...
Can't they be reported?
Yes.
Yeah.
And kicked off?
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
And have their service...
You can boot people you don't like out of your group.
Okay.
You know?
Right.
But that's more of, like, they're killing their teammates.
Yeah.
No, you can do whatever. If you want to boot them, you boot them.
That's good. Yeah.
And there's no... You know.
I can say that, like, I mean, I don't voice chat now. Mainly because we don't have a headset that I can use. But I don't really care. Even when we did, when we were playing at the peak, when we were playing Halo 3, like every Friday night for 7 straight hours on all multiplayer, I'm very reactionary in that if somebody started talking smack, I would start ripping into them. And I would admit, I said horrible shit, but sometimes it's just hysterical. But me... my main focus of the game is I just kind of always want to beat the other team. I don't care about achievements or experience points. I just like hanging with my friends and us beating them as a team.
Yeah.
And so I was always the one trying to get the team to actually use some tactics as opposed to everyone run every which way and try to hunt down whatever you can find.
Yeah.
And it was, you get drawn into people screaming and cursing at you, saying the worst possible things they can say. But honestly, as man children, there were still times when they would say some funny-ass stuff. I'd be like, that's hilarious. Okay, yeah, that kid killed me and talked to Smack, but pretty good, kid.
Yeah.
Pretty good. And the names? Some of the names?
Oh,
oh
yeah.
God.
I have hours of...
Me, Raw Jenkins.
Of just ripping into people.
Butterface.
Canadian Chaos! Just screaming that for 30 straight minutes playing some team.
Oh, man. Yeah, not much to add. I'm the same way. I don't want to listen to my friends. I don't want to hear some 7-year-old in, you know, Zimbabwe talking shit to me. Yeah, it's just, it turns me off to the game experience.
Question number two. Is there another game that completely just out multiplayers Halo?
Yeah.
Is there a game that does it way better?
Diablo?
Yeah, only first-person shooter, or...
Let's
stay in that genre, I guess, yeah?
I guess stay in that genre. I mean, if there is another genre, I mean, the multiplayer functions within different genres differently, but the networking and the way it happens might be very similar, honestly.
Halo has been my favorite multiplayer, but I know Call of Duty's up there too.
Yeah.
I would be curious as to the numbers because, I like Halo more, but I almost feel like Call of Duty's probably beating them at this point.
Mm-hmm. The children have risen up.
Yeah. I think the best multiplayer is StarCraft, actually, in my mind. You know, because, it's
going to be able to play it again soon.
Yay.
Probably tomorrow.
Yay.
Nice.
Charlie?
I can't say I've played anything else. Well, like I said, retro gamer here.
Nothing beats handing the controller over when you can't beat Quick Man.
On console, I can say that I don't think there's anything else I've played multiplayer, but I do put a lot of time in with Star Trek Armada.
Nice.
Assimilating everything I can get my hands on.
Freaking Borg.
They're the best.
Stop Borgifying everything.
Race. I'm sorry.
Alright, well, let's drift away from multiplayer.
Alright.
Is there anything you guys want to talk about? We didn't really touch a lot on specific moments in Halo 2 or 3. I do have some final questions to take us out. Oh, yes, the music. Composer Martin O'Donnell, who is a Chicago, local Chicago person. Actually, a lot of the music and voiceover was recorded here in Chicago.
Well, Bungie was originally a Chicago-based company.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's why.
I have a quote from O'Donnell, and he said that his goal with the music for Halo was to provide a feeling of importance, weight, and sense of the ancient. I think that theme exactly does that.
Yeah.
I mean, when the chorus comes in the beginning
if you just leave the song, if you just leave it up and the music plays over and over, I mean, it's just,
I would totally leave it just on the main menu, just for that choral thing. It's awesome.
Oh,
yeah, it's totally awesome.
It's very, Gregorian type of music.
Yeah.
But I also think, more so, Halo really made... Halo is like the first video game I can remember where it's the whole production, if you go through the main trilogy, is like it's a movie.
Yeah.
Everything from the voices they chose to the direction they decided to go with the story to the music.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, you see that in games now. It's very it is a production.
In the first game, did they have did they have David Cross? Did they have Nathan Fillion?
I don't know if they had David Cross.
Nathan Fillion showed up till ODST.
Yeah.
Steve Downs. They had Cortana and Master Chief were there.
David Cross was definitely in 3. You hear his voice throughout.
Wasn't Katie Sackhoff also?
Yes.
There was also another female voice you hear from one of the Marines if you're running by them. That I knew who she
Rodriguez,
was, but now I can't.
Michelle Rodriguez.
Of course.
Maybe. That's exactly
it.
What it is.
I thought you were doing a bit.
No.
I think he's right.
If you knew them, recognizable voices. Like, David Cross is very recognizable, especially because he's always, the loudest Marine saying the dumbest things.
Yes.
Game over, man.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
It's just ridiculous. The funny thing was also the voices of the other Marines, what they would say would change depending on what Master Chief was doing. For instance, I remember one of the games where I was playing the game, the actual story mode, and I just kind of went nuts and I never stopped running forward and shooting, and I was getting lucky and killing everything, and you hear one of them say, "He's not even slowing down!" Like, really ridiculous-like, and I'd never heard him say that before. But because I literally, was chunking grenades and shooting until I ran out of bullets and killing everything in my path, it changed what they were saying.
That's awesome.
If your actions changed their dialogue.
It was great for atmosphere. It was really great for atmosphere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Is that the first game that they had like well-known actors actually do guest spots?
I can tell you of one.
I can think of one.
A long, long time ago. I don't know if
you know what
you're
going to say.
It may have been called Apocalypse.
Oh, yeah.
It's Bruce Willis.
Oh, nice.
He does the voice of the main character you're playing. It is technically a first-person shooter. Not really. It's pan back where you can see the character, but all you're doing is running down streets or through buildings shooting, and the whole story of the game mode is you're a scientist, you were framed for murder, it's the future, and so for some reason it's not just the cops looking for you, the federal government's looking for you. Turns out you have exposed this conspiracy where someone's trying to bring about the end of the world, and each main boss you fight is one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Mm-hmm. And of course, the Beast, Lucifer himself, is the President of the United States.
Spoiler alert!
This game is like PlayStation 1, 1997, 6.
Coming off his Die Hard with a Vengeance.
But yeah, it was, his voice is so recognizable. I was like, that's Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
Just to jump back to the music, I know for Halo 2, they released the soundtrack for commercial release, and it is one of the highest grossing video game soundtracks.
It's so epic. It just it really brings it to that level of, as you said, like, it's a production. You know, with the voices, with the story elements, and just all of it. You know?
Video Games Live came through Chicago, and they had Martin O'Donnell come out and, like, conduct the symphony as they did Halo, which was pretty
badass.
I
really want to hear that.
Oh, it's so great.
The theme song. Oh,
anything else you guys want to touch on? We have just a few minutes
here
left.
Can I ask a question?
Oh, yes, please.
What was everybody's favorite kill? like... Mine was hand to hand. Like, I used to. My favorite thing to do is run up behind somebody and just chunk them in the head.
Shotgun. I loved just running around, especially in multiplayer. There was a time when I just had this rhythm about where I could just run up to people and shoot them just really quick. And I was just a guy darting around with a shotgun. Loved it.
I got one. Sticky grenade.
There's something so satisfying.
Yeah. I mean, to make your grenades sticky.
If you can get them in the base too, because that's all they can see.
No. Like in 3 seconds, they know they're gonna die.
I think my favorite kills have to be the one where I would use the assault rifle, the one that just had the 3-shot bursts.
Yeah,
and it could zoom a little. Yes, everyone hated that gun because you kind of have to have skill to be able to kill someone because no one's going to sit still long enough. Now, granted, the sniper rifle is just difficult, but the sniper rifle allows you to zoom to the point where
the screen is their head.
Yeah, and that can be hard if they're moving around. But the problem with the sniper rifle is one good shot takes out most of your health. So if the person's already damaged, you don't even have to hit them in the head to kill them.
Yeah.
But with that assault rifle, it doesn't take out near as much damage if you don't get a headshot, and you really have to, like, my favorite kills were the ones where all I could see was their name in red, and I'd just be shooting, and then they'd be dead, and I'd be like, I just killed a guy from across the screen with a weapon that's not designed to do that. Take it, sucker! Take it! That's when I would start talking smack. I'd be like, alright, Domino 4132, that was me? I just want to say, I'm not going to make it over there to teabag you in time, but I'm doing it right now. I'm doing it right now in spirit.
Did you ever actually teabag people?
Oh, God, yeah.
All the time, man.
Especially when it was somebody who killed me multiple times, but finally when I kill them and you get that achievement where it would say, like, you know, revenge or some stupid thing like that.
Teabag achievement?
Yeah, I would not even know it was
teabag. Don't they have that?
I'd teabag. And I don't know how many times I died because I did not stop teabagging. Because I'd be just talking smack, forgetting about the whole rest of the game, going, you like that? You like that? You like to taste that? And then someone would kill me. And it would be that guy killing me over his previous dead body. And I'd be like, oh, man.
Now I gotta kill you again and do it again.
I'm coming for you.
Man.
Yeah, Steven dumps.
So there's a cheat that, I don't know if it's supposed to be a cheat, but there's a trick that my roommate, who the Halo master, taught me, where you have a shotgun and you shoot him with the shotgun and then you melee him right after, like immediately after. So it's shoot, boom, and they're dead. Like, instantly. Nothing they can do about it.
Shotgun would almost always kill him right off the bat. Yeah.
If you're far away, though. Like, if you're running at him, and you strafe in, shotgun shoot, and then pistol whip and run away. Like, it'll immediately kill them. Because the shotgun takes out their shield, and the pistol whip takes them out completely.
And I think in 2, that all you needed was the shotgun. Yeah. Like, it was just boom.
I really liked the two fists.
Not all the time. And you didn't have to aim with the shotgun. You could shoot them, like, to the side and just, you know, get a little bit dead. Yeah.
See? Shotgun spree.
You didn't have to have any skill to do it.
I'm
it was such
a with a
cheap trick, man.
Worst weapon.
Spartan laser.
The pistol.
Yeah.
I love the pistol.
Not in 4.
Pistol's
Actually, I'll take it back. I just barely use the pistol. When I do use the pistol, it's because I've just kind of given up and really I just want to kill somebody with a pistol and go, I just killed you with a pistol, son.
I can't tell you how many pistol kills I've gotten, honestly. There's the same trick with that. Like, you can shoot them and you can zoom in, you can get headshots with the pistols.
Yep.
and you could pistol whip them too. So you shoot their shield down and then pistol whip them, they're dead.
There are
the same
several,
trick.
There are I can tell you the weapon I hate being killed by that has pissed me off more than anything.
Needler?
The Needler.
Oh, the Needler, dude.
I hate it.
You don't even really have to aim.
You don't. They just start sticking in you and you're like, oh,
and then they explode.
They explode.
Yeah.
But that other little pistol that the aliens have that you can charge, I hate that thing.
Oh, their handgun?
Because it's just like, pew.
And you're like, oh,
okay, I'll charge. You're like, I'll charge, and then boom, and it still doesn't kill anyone. You're like,
just
why do you make that?
That is the worst.
Yeah, there was one that I had a friend that was just really good at charging it, shooting it with it, dropping your shield, switching real quick, and killing me. Like, he did it so perfectly. I gotta admit, that was pretty brilliant, but it pissed me off so much.
Like, damn it, but I'm so impressed. Ah,
Spartan Laser is another one that's a pain, but it's because so many of the weapons in the game are designed specific. Spartan Laser is made for killing a vehicle.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, but I wouldn't.
When you get a friend with
so
it,
charge
you
and have somebody come around the corner
get
as it goes off.
That's probably, I would say that's probably the greatest kill if you could do that.
Yeah.
I mean, because you have to hold it, they can charge, and like, it has to hit them.
Yeah.
It can't hit near them. The laser has to go through their body
at
some point. But if it does kill them in one shot.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're just like, hoo-hoo!
Finally!
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing we haven't really touched on was, I feel Halo's implementation of vehicles is very well done and was kind of groundbreaking at the time. Like, the only game I can think of that was a first-person shooter that had vehicles to this extent was Tribes. On the PC.
I never played Tribes.
It was hard to get running if your network connection was really slow.
Yeah, I gotta say, I never had more fun than when I was on the back of a Warthog.
Hell yeah, man.
When you're in multiplayer and you're killing one of the is it a Wraith? The flying?
Wraith is a flying.
Yeah.
Wraith? Yeah.
It just gave me flashbacks of the opening scenes of Terminator 2 when the Jeep is going and it's shooting at the hunter killer, and there was never more screaming than whenever we would kill one of those.
Yeah.
Because I'd be like, I got it! And of course, my buddy would always be like, don't get cocky, kid.
Do you know what one of my favorite things to do in 4 is? Is to get, like, when I'm playing with one of my friends, I'm like, okay, are you driving the Mongoose? I'm on the back, or...
Yeah.
And just see how long we can last.
Just the fact the vehicles had that option, it's like, it's not one person in a vehicle, it's like five. Like, on a tank, people can hang off
the
side.
The Warthog's funny because, like, you've got your driver, who all they can do is drive. Then you got a passenger who can shoot, sort of, at an angle.
At like a 180 degrees,
and then,
that's
of course,
it.
You've got the big gun.
Yeah,
and
man.
Then with the Mongoose, you have a guy driving the Mongoose, and, like, his buddy holding on and being like, don't worry, I got this.
It's
like, I got all of this.
He's like riding your pegs on your bike.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a four-wheeler.
And then the tank, literally everyone on the team gets on it, and we're like, just get us over there, we're going to immediately jump off and go kill, but we need a ride.
Or, I take it back, my favorite kill is with the ghost and running people over.
That kill counts are so high when I'm on
like,
a ghost.
I hate that thing.
Gotcha.
That's why I love it, man. You can just mow people down.
Though I do kind of dig the new vehicle in 4, the Walker.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
that
fun.
Thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing.
The Walker is awesome.
Have you played 4,
what's it
Chris?
Called? It's called like a Mantis.
Oh, okay.
It's
great.
Because
it's
like,
so fucking
it's
cool.
A mech.
It's
a with a machine gun arm. And rockets.
Right.
So you kind of walk out there, and you start seeing people pop up, and of course they see you, and the first thing that happens is they all charge you to try and kill you, because the Walker is, I would say, almost as powerful as the Scorpion when it comes to being able to just kill everything.
It goes
in your
down
path.
A lot easier than the Scorpion.
It goes way easier. But the Scorpion is a lot slower to maneuver, whereas the Walker just turns in 360 and just mows things down, and it's just... When you get on a spree with one of those, it makes people so mad.
The whole
team will give up trying to kill anyone else, and they're like, we gotta kill that thing.
Well, and it's not... And even with the rockets and the machine gun and all that power, you also can stomp.
Yeah, right?
I don't know why.
Just to be a dick. They come up, and they're shooting at you, and then this foot just goes... Stop!
I avoided all this. I got right up on you, and you stepped on my
head. Look, guys, Billy's got it. Oh, Billy!
There's your Metal Gear.
Yeah.
Metal Gear.
Yeah.
Metal Gear.
He does kind of sound like Solid Snake, doesn't
he? Yeah, we talked about that.
No, I was always very sad that they never let you in Halo 3. They had the helicopters.
Yeah.
I was mad that they there were few multiplayer games where they would put that in it.
Yeah.
There were a couple, and what would happen is my friend was a dick and he hated it, so he would get in it, and he would find a place where he could drop it to where it wouldn't get destroyed, but nobody could get to it, like going up to one of those spots. He'd do that every time. So you'd see him fly it up, and then just jump out, it would crash like up there, and we're all like, I can see it. Somebody knock it down with a rocket launcher or something. Somebody would blow it up, and we're like, all right, well, at least it's going to respawn, and he'd immediately get it and take it up again. Not because he wanted it. He's just like, being a dick. He's like, I don't want you to have it.
Oh, man.
I'm like, come on, it's a helicopter.
Man, what are you doing later? Now I want to go.
I'll get on.
I always like taking down the Covenant spider walker things.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, those are always so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
Those are events.
Yeah, they are.
They're events.
Especially when there would be multiple ones. I'm like, really? Somebody thought, hey, let's just send the one guy out there to get these. He's got it. He's got it. I hated that.
So we're running really long. I've got to, unfortunately, cut this short. But I have a final question to take us all out. I'll answer it first, just to give you all a little time to think. What is your favorite moment in any Halo game? And I'll go first. And it's actually something you touched on, Sean. The first time I played the first Halo, and I walked out and you saw the horizon of the ring go the other direction, I thought was so cool and so atmospheric. I mean, graphically, it was really impressive at the time. It probably doesn't hold up as well now. But just seeing the arc of the ring, like, that imagery has always stuck with me. Like, it's something decidedly Halo. And it's cool. It's really neat. That's mine.
Ooh. I can go.
Go for it.
The end of Reach.
Oh, yeah.
Literally. Just, like, after he's taken off and you're there, and they actually do it. They actually make you fight until you die.
Yeah.
Like in the credits too, I think, right? The credits are when you're still fighting.
Yeah. God, it's
and
cool.
Well, you, yeah.
I think there's a final cutscene, and then before the credits, you have to fight and die before the credits will roll.
Yeah. And you can go. I mean,
you can go long. And it
freaking
like,
time.
but it also gets like cinematic. Like your helmet like comes off, and
you
see blood everywhere, and then like you can only fight hand to hand, and then eventually you die.
Brilliant, man. I might cry, but I won't. My favorite moment, you already said it, Sean, is the grenade. You know, it's like, I'm going to give him back to him. You know, he just freaking goes into space and tosses a thermonuclear weapon at another spaceship. And then, you know, descends in a planet, you know, in his badass armor because he's Master Chief. So, it's a great moment. Badass right there.
I love that moment. But I got to say, the finale of 3... is probably the most fun I've ever had with a video game in my life. So, if for all those who haven't finished 3, especially on Legendary, you're in a Warthog, the Arbiter, or whoever your partner, the Arbiter's driving, and you're on a platform and a planet that is disintegrating. So, it's covered in flood, so you're having to use the gun to actually keep the flood off you. They'll stop the Jeep, they'll stop the Warthog, and if it does, you'll fall, because you're on this platform that's falling. And at the very end of it, you have to make this long jump where you're jumping into the destroyer that came in. And I remember playing that and just screaming when we made that jump. I was just like, yee-ha-ha-ha! Like, just being a dick. Because it was so much fun, because you're just mowing down the enemy and trying to outrun. If you don't kill the enemy in front of you, they'll stop you enough that you won't get up enough momentum to make the jump. And when you do, right after that, the cutscene for it is just awesome, as the ship tries to get away from the planet before it implodes. It's just so much fun. And it is. It's one of those things that I don't know how many times we went through it before we made it. It's hard.
It is hard.
On Legendary, you have to get it just right, or else the Warthog just misses the Destroyer and you just fall. Because the Destroyer is just sitting in midair, kind of floating, and you have to make the jump into its little cargo bay, or else that's it for you. I mean, yeah, you save everyone, but that's it for the story. So it's fun as hell the first time you get it, and you get to see all the cutscene. It's just too much fun, because it's just a constant running battle for like, it's like 30 straight minutes.
Yeah, it's a long.
You're like, is this not over? Is this not over? Come on. And the platform's still falling? Why isn't this is built really well.
John?
Yeah, that's great. The end of, they do finales so well on a lot of these games.
Epically.
And, Those are great. And besides the end of 4, because I think the end of 4 is...
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it, but it's, I think that's really cool. I think the thing that I remember really well is the Cortana's monologue about at the beginning of 3, I believe, and it's I Chose You.
Because
I think it's just a great read. Like, I think it's a neat performance, and I think it really made me excited to get into this game. And
It does
start off with him falling to earth?
Yeah.
Well, you don't know yet. She's just talking, and you all of a sudden see like a shooting star that eventually becomes there he is.
Yeah, that's a great open, and it's a neat monologue, and it's I love that moment.
All right. Well, those are all good moments. Unfortunately, we have to bring the conversation to a close, but hopefully you all enjoyed this discussion about Halo. Does anybody wish to plug anything? Anything else they're working on? Any other podcasts or websites or whatever that you might be working on?
In the Chicagoland area, there will be a show I'll be in soon called Princess Bride, from the namesake. And it'll be showing at Hamburger Mary's. You can go to edgeoforion.com to get more information and tickets.
Cool.
Valentine's Day weekend, it opens.
Who are you playing?
I'm Yellen. Captain of the Guard. Yeah.
Anybody else?
Aww.
Okay.
All right. Also interesting people.
You can hear my voice over on my friend Mark Soloff's podcast called Blastro Podcast. I believe that episode will air contemporaneous with this one. If not, it'll be coming out very soon. If you have any comments, questions, or protests, you can email them to nerdoutcastpodcast@gmail.com. Gentlemen, thank you for coming out tonight and discussing the Halo trilogy. Guess we might have to do a part 2 sometime, because we really didn't touch on a lot of things that I wanted to touch on, so... I have been your host, Chris Bastian, and my guests tonight have been...
Steven Scalabrino.
Rob Shumate.
Charles Wright.
Sean Okerberg.
Thank you, and have a good evening.